Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and love on you, Lord, this morning as we come again together for fellowship here this morning. May you open the eyes of our hearts to be able to gaze upon you, Lord, to be able to see you and engage you in this spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you. We give you all a praise and glory, Lord. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light. And let that light shine our hearts today. We also declare that it gives understanding. May we understand what the Spirit is saying in the name of Jesus to the church. Glory and honor be to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, the Lord, he wants us to look upon him. That's right. He wants us to look upon him. We need to gaze upon him in the spirit. Hallelujah. And anyone that is desiring to see him, well, you know, the Lord might just grant that desire. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 22, we see the prophet proclaiming this. "Look unto me," he said, speaking for the Lord, that is. Hallelujah. "Look unto me," praise God, "and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Hallelujah. "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess or swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed." Hallelujah. "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified." Well, I say, well, "in the Lord shall all the children of the Lord be justified and shall glory in him." Praise the Lord. Moses wanted to see the Lord. "Show me your glory," he said. Hallelujah. And you know, the Lord, many times in his appearances to people, you know, sometimes either the couched as the angel of the Lord or the Lord himself, you know, people would fall down, but the Lord wants them to see. Hallelujah. You know, when the angel of the Lord visited Daniel, he fell down and touched him, you know, so they could get up and see. But I want to show this one here in the book of Revelation chapter 1. This is Jesus himself. Yes, we're not even talking about an angel now. Jesus himself coming to John on the Isle of Patmos. Praise God. And the Bible says that John, you know, heard his voice, you know, but you have to also turn to see the voice that's speaking unto you. Today, I'm going to ask us to turn our heads, to lift our heads and see, you know, match the voice to what you see. Hallelujah. You can see him in his glory. Praise the Lord. It'll change everything. Let's read an encounter here that John had. You know, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation," as Revelation 1 verse 9, "and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches that are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned, see, to see the voice that speak to me. You got to find the source of that voice. We need to look and gaze upon him. John wanted to see. I turned to see. You know, I want to see. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of these seven candlesticks, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs are white like wool, you know, and white as snow. And this is not the way that John seen him before when they sat at dinner and all those things. And he used to say, well, you know, I'm the one that sat close to him. Well, he saw him differently here, you know, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a voice of many waters, the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. I call him the seven star general. Hallelujah. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Now this is John describing what he saw. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he doesn't want you to die because of his glory. He wants you to live in it. And so he laid his hand upon me, right hand upon me, and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. So we know that was Jesus. I mean, Jesus was the one that died. You know, we know that. And they lived after that too. And they said, amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars, the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now when John gazed upon him, he saw him in a different light. I want to invite us today to lift up our heads and see the King of Glory in your situation. That's right. See him in that situation. You know, sometimes our heads are bowed down so much that we cannot see God in that situation. But you need to lift up our heads and let the light of his glory shine into our hearts. We see him in that situation. He's there. In the book of Psalm 24, we read from verse 7. The psalmist said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Well, what will happen if you lift up your heads? Well, he said, the King of Glory shall come in. Here's how he says it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Now, every man, a woman that's alive and has the breath in him is a portal. you know, and well, you know, we can be a portal or gateway for good or for evil. And if we choose to intentionally gaze upon the Lord, open up our hearts to Him, let Him come on in, and we are the portal for His glory. He's called the King of Glory. When he comes into that situation, he said, Lord, you know, we have waited for him. Our God will come and he will save us. So in the situation that you're in, let's try to see the Lord. You know, see him in his glory. You got to lift up your head, though, to see him. You can't see him when your head is bowed down. The kingdom of God is as unto this parable, something the Lord explained to me a while ago, long time, years actually. It's like when you're standing beneath a huge mountain and you are completely dwarfed by that mountain. You can't really see the top of that mountain when you are right at the foot of the mountain. But then, you know, and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, this thing is overwhelming. This mountain that is looming over me is overwhelming. And how do I overcome this thing or even get around it? It looks like it's insurmountable. And then you hear a voice that says, step back. And you step back and you didn't step back enough. It says, step back some more. And then you keep stepping back. You step back far enough that you now have the gradient of sight. See, the line of sight when you are right underneath a very tall structure, you can't see the top of that structure. When you move back far enough, the gradient is easier and you can see the top of that mountain. Now, what do you see now at the top of that mountain? He showed. And wow, there was a colossal figure that was standing astride that mountain. 1 foot on this side and the other foot on that side. It was impossible to see that, you know, at the bottom of the mountain before. But now that mountain that looked so big, that dwarfed you before, or was so overwhelming, completely dwarfed by this colossal figure that's standing astride that mountain. And then you hear the voice that say, I am the Lord, even over this mountain. Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord. But you got to gaze upon him. See? You got to gaze upon him. You got to look beyond the mountain in order to see him. But you got to lift up your head even more to see the King of Glory standing as, you know, astride that mountain. And the mountain that looked so big, that was, you know, you imagine was insurmountable in your mind. Now, all of a sudden, that mountain looks like nothing when you see this colossal figure that's standing over that mountain. And you hear his voice that says, I am the Lord, even of this mountain, even over this mountain. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, we must learn to gaze upon him, to lift up our heads and to see the King of Glory, the God of the mountain. Praise God. Now, God is God, whether mountain, whether valley, whether up or down, he is the Lord still. Hallelujah. There are many situations and many things. One song writer said, I've been through many situations. I've been other places. Seen a lot of things. You know, but through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. You know, and I know that if I never had any of these problems, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His Word can do. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, our God will never leave us alone. Sometimes we are focused too much on the mountain. Well, you need to lift up your head and see the King of Glory over that mountain. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you can put your name there. Thou shalt be a plain. The mountain that looks great. Well, God acknowledged it that is great. We call it great mountain. Who art thou, O great mountain? It's not that it's not great. It's actually great. You know. So the Lord acknowledges, you know, the greatness and seemingly overpowering posture that the mountain may have over us. However, there is someone that is greater. He that is in you, the scripture says, is greater than he that is without. Praise the Lord. Now, when we see problems or have situations, we need to look beyond the situations, that we may see and understand that the Lord is with us. There's a story I want to read some part of it to you in 2 Kings chapter 6. Pick it up from, you know, I don't know, maybe verse 17 or so. But I want to read in this story about in one story in the life of Elisha, the prophet. And, the king, you know, had been told that Elisha was the one that was telling of his secret plans. When the Syrians would plan something against Israel, whatever they planned, Elisha would warn the king of Israel and they would escape. And finally, the king of Syrians, you know, and said, look, which of you is the traitor here? Because all our plans have been revealed to Israel. So everything we discuss here, there's a mole, he said. I have a mole in the camp. And, one of his servants told him, said, no, my lord, there is no mole in the camp, but there is a man. His name is Elisha. He's a prophet, and he's in Israel. And he tells the king of Israel, everything that you are planning in your bedroom, this man discovers everything and tells it, you know. Say, he does that? Say, yeah. It's not that there's nobody, you know, betraying you here. This prophet is the one revealing everything. So the man said, well, you know, we'll have to deal with that. You know, so gathers up horses and chariots and a great host. So let's pick it up, this story, perhaps from verse 14. Therefore, the king gathered up, he says, sent hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night, compassed the city about where Elisha was. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, see, they surrounded the city. They're going to grab him. They're going to grab Elisha, that is. When he came out and went forth, maybe to take care of their donkeys and stuff. What did he see? He saw the city was compassed about with horses and chariots. And he ran back to his master and said, "Alas, alas, my master, what shall we do? The city is compassed about with horses and chariots and soldiers and things." And Elisha said, "What's happening?" He said, "Well, you know, you come and see. You know, they surrounded us. They're going to take us. They're going to bump us off." And Elisha said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Well, the man was seeing already. What do you mean open his eyes? Is the man blind? He just came and reported to you what he saw. But Elisha said, "There is a different realm that you are not able to see into. You got to look up, you know, you got to open your eyes. You got to lift up your eyes and see something different than what you see here." And when the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, oh my goodness. Now, you got to look higher. You know, he's looking on the ground. He sees, you know, horses and chariots and a great host. Well, the man of God said, "Well, you got to look a little higher. You got to look even to the top of the mountains." "You know, lift up my eyes unto the hills. Whence cometh my help?" You got to look to the mountains, see. And when he opened his eyes, the man, behold, he saw the mountain. See, was full of horses and chariots of fire. Woo-hoo! Chariots of fire full of horses. They were there. Elisha didn't pray that the Lord should send chariots of fire. He didn't pray that. He just said the Lord should open the eyes of his servant to see. You know, and basically like said, well, they that are with us are greater than they that are against us. And the man at first was saying, you know, because that's what he told him. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the man said, who are they that are with you? I don't see anybody. All we have here are these donkeys. And he said, well, Lord, open his eyes so they can see. And when he saw, oh my goodness, chariots of fire all around. The numbers of them the sight of them to behold was even more, frightening than these soldiers that he had seen. And he said, well, this is what's on our side. Praise God. Now, powerful story there, but the man had to, you know, Elisha had to pray for the man to open our eyes. Well, sometimes we need to pray. And I'm going to pray for you here this morning and for all of us. The Lord will help you to lift up your heads and see the King of Glory. Lift up even your eyes sometimes and see, you know, the chariots of fire that's around you. And, you know, it seems as if, well, if the chariots of fire are around you, then why am I in this trouble? Well, because the Lord is fixing to do something. And he may not do it right at the onset of the trouble. Sometimes the trouble will brew for a while. And then the Lord will step in and show his glory. Remember, the darker it gets, the brighter the light shines. You know, when it's just dusk initially, or dawn, either one, the light is not too bright. But as the dust fades away, the night gets in darker and darker and darker. The light that you have will shine brighter and brighter and brighter. The light, the strength of the light was the same before, but the darkness, when it deepened, it caused the light to shine brighter. Hallelujah. Now, so it is the same thing as the challenges that we face. And, you know, I just want to encourage us today. Nothing that you don't already know, but this is the one thing I want you to do today is to lift up your heads. When you are you know, in any situation that could be a downer. And so we face those situations many, many times. But learn to lift up your heads and look for his salvation. Hallelujah. See the King of Glory. See him as that colossal figure over that mountain, which was seemingly overwhelming to you. See how the Lord completely dwarfs it. But you got to step back in order to see that. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul would encourage us in the book of Romans chapter 8 to say that, look, not only can you overcome these things, you're actually more than a conqueror. But you got to recognize that. You got to believe that. You got to know that. And the reason you are able to do that is because of the Lord that is with you. As the Lord himself said, when you pass through the fire, Isaiah 43 and 2, I'll be right there with you. I'm going to take this thing out of that fire. And we saw literally, you know, there were these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were thrown in the fire, and the Lord was literally there with them. When you pass through the waters also, you know, rivers that are trying to sweep you off your feet in a bad way, the Lord said, I'll be right there with you. Praise the Lord. So, here is what Paul the Apostle had to say. What shall we say then to these things? Well, this is Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God be for us, and I say, well, if God be with you, and if God be, you know, around you, well, you know, who or what can be against you then? Surely there will be stuff that will be against you, but he that is inside of you is greater than the mountain that you see. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, and is even now at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. Who shall separate, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? God's love is stronger. The love of Christ is stronger than your present tribulation. His love is stronger than your distress. His love is stronger than persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword, or whatever we may be going through. You know, his love is stronger. Sometimes it looks as if we're, you know, being led to the slaughter every day from one problem to another. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, God wants us to develop, you know, some spiritual muscles. And how you do it is by looking unto him and letting his glory flow into your situation. And then you find out that those things begin to snap off. Praise the Lord. Now, in all these things, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded. Now, this is Paul's persuasion. What is your persuasion? Now, this is Paul's story. Well, what's your testimony? You know, you go to the court of law and litigation and say, well, testimony will show this and this and this. Well, what is your testimony? Is it your testimony that such and such? Is it your testimony that you are persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, well, nor things that I'm going through at the moment, that's things present, nor things that the devil's planning in the future, that's things to come, whether I'm up or I'm down, or any other situation, shall be able to separate me from the love of God. When I'm anchored upon his love, I have that persuasion. What, do you have that persuasion? Praise the Lord. So that persuasion is something that we must develop. And the encouragement of the Spirit to us today is for you to lift up your heads. Hallelujah. You know, when your head is bowed down, well, you got to lift it up. Praise God. You got to lift up that head so that you can see the King of Glory. And many, many messages in the Bible that tells us that. Luke chapter 21, verse 28 tells us, literally, this thing that I'm talking about here. Literally, he said, you know, lift up your heads when you're going through. And when you see these things begin to come to pass. He said, well, lift up your heads. For your redemption is drawing near. Now, when you begin to see problem after problem, situation, you know, at first it looks like, well, you know, maybe just a little thing and then it gets worse and then something else and then another thing else. Well, that's the time for you to lift up your head and see the King of Glory. Is he in that situation with you or has he left you alone by yourself to fend for yourself? Well, the only way that God leaves us to fend for ourselves is when we declare independence from the Lord. We've spoken about that in the last series. You declare independence from the Lord through disobedience and through sin. And, you know, we declare independence. But as long as you are trusting in the Lord, walking in the light of his word, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, by gazing upon him, we receive strength. Strength for the situation at hand. Also, we can remember the goodness of the Lord in prior situations and use that to encourage ourselves for the now. David, he remembered the goodness of the Lord over the lion and over the bear. And he used that to strengthen himself for the present conflict against Goliath. So, according to the book of Job, you know, when men are cast down, we shall say that there is a lifting up. I want there to be a lifting up for you today in the name of the Lord Jesus in the event that you are, you know, cast down. Let there be a lifting up for you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thou shalt also decree a thing and shall be established unto you. The light will shine upon your ways. When men are cast down, he said, Job 22 and 29, thou shalt say there is a lifting up. Hallelujah. Well, let there be a lifting up of your head today. Psalmist said, the Lord is my glory and the lifter up of my head. You know, sometimes we will even find it difficult to raise our heads. But thou, O Lord, art a shield unto me. Psalm 3 and verse 3. You are my glory and the lifter up of my head. You are the one that helps me to even lift up my head. The hands that hang down, the knees that are feeble, the head that is bowed. The Lord give you encouragement today. But what I want you to do, your part that you got to play is focus on the Lord. And the greatness of his power that is even beyond the mountain. The mountain that's dwarfing you at the moment. The Lord himself in turn super dwarfs that mountain. I don't even know the language to use. You know, but unless he shows you what he showed me, you wouldn't understand it. But, you know, the Lord is able to make the thing that looks so big to us, you know, look so little in comparison to his greatness. Praise the Lord. So we must lift up our heads and we must not allow the devil to keep us down. Jesus said, in the world, ye shall have tribulations and distresses. John 16 and 33. But be of good cheer. Well, good cheer means lift up your head. When people are not of good cheer, their heads are bowed. You know, don't bow your head. The Lord is the lifter up of your head. Praise the Lord. The Lord oftentimes also encouraging us to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, consider that life is full of adversity and prosperity. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. When things are going good, well, praise the name of the Lord. But then, just as surely as you have days of prosperity, you're going to have days of adversity and vice versa. You may be in days of adversity now. Well, just as surely as you're having adversity, you will have prosperity. These are the cycles that God put in place, night and day, night and day. And he called the darkness night. He called also the light day and left the two of them side by side. So till this day, we'll go through and we will go through. But when you are going through the night seasons, according to, you know, the book of Psalms 30 and verse 5, you know, when you're going through those night seasons, it said, well, you know, you should be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord that the night will not last forever. Hallelujah. See, it said, though weeping may endure for a night, there is joy that is coming in the morning. Well, so you may be in the night season now. Joy is coming for you in the morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God shall come and save us. Glory to God. Now, do you have the testimony within yourself that God is coming into your situation? The Lord is coming. He will not keep silence. And he's coming and he will save us. Praise God. He's coming to save us from our situation. You know, we don't call him a savior for nothing. When he arrives, though, he said, shall I still find you at the point of faith? According to Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Well, we've been praying and asking the Lord to come and help us. Well, he will come. But when he comes, what will he find? You know, will he find us still at the point of faith, still believing? Well, here's what I want to say to you today. The voice of the prophet, the voice of the Lord, rather, through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 35 and verse 4. And I want that to ring out here this morning. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Hallelujah. Confirm the feeble knees. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Jesus said, well, he will avenge them speedily in Luke chapter 18. Well, our God will come with vengeance to avenge that situation. He will come with a recompense. He will come and save you. Amen. He's coming. But I want you to lift up your eyes today and gaze upon him. Even during the storm, gaze upon him. He may not remove the storm, but see the Lord that is bigger than the storm. Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord also over the Sabbath. Well, I say the Son of Man is also Lord also over those troubles, those situations that you find yourself in. He is the Lord. We need to lift up our eyes and gaze upon him. Gaze upon him. Open the eyes of my heart. It's one song. You know, can we see him in the eyes of our heart? Can we see him? Can you gaze upon the Lord like that? Praise God. Our God will come with a vengeance and he will save you. But when he comes, shall I find faith? Jesus said. Will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have given up, packed it in, folded it up? You know? But even he, you know, because of his mercy, even when you have given up, which you shouldn't, even when you've packed in your nets and you're washing out your nets, you know, Jesus might just step in and say, do it again. That's what he said to Peter. You know, Peter tried everything. He was discouraged, finally. And they packed in their nets, gave up and returned to the shore. That fishing expedition that particular night was a failure, they thought. And as they were washing out their nets and everything, God, Jesus comes in and says, well, Peter, how you doing? I said, Lord, I don't know. Today was not such a good day. I said, well, you know, launch out, go back out there and do it again. And Peter said, well, Lord, I mean, we've been doing this all night. We didn't catch anything. The fish are not biting today. And as he began to say that, he remembered that was the master speaking. Peter all of a sudden remembered that, look, the situation notwithstanding, you know, the voice of the master will carry through. You know, I want you to consider this scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This was exactly what Peter was practicing here. You know, there are times when our soul is distressed. You know, you of course, you know that the soul is where all that emotion and all that stuff is at. The depression, the sadness, the sorrow, even joy, gladness, all these things. Whether you're happy, it's in the soul. Whether you're distressed, it's in the soul. Whether you're angry, it's in the soul. Whether you are mellow, you know, whatever. It's all in the soul. Well, in the soul, Peter responded at first. You know, he's always quick to speak, you know. He said, well, you know, I've been doing that all night, nothing happening. You know, so I'm done. I give up. You know, washed out my nets already. That's the soul. That's the distress. That's the anguish. That's the discouragement in the soul. But then the nevertheless moment. There's always, there can always be a nevertheless moment when you gaze upon the Lord, even in that situation. So gaze upon him and think about his word. Hebrews 4 and 12 says the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The only thing I can do is the word of God. When your soul is so distressed because of the situations that you're going in, switch into that nevertheless moment like Peter did. Well, I know the situation is bleak. We've been at it all night long, nothing happening. And it doesn't look like this is the season for us to make a catch. Nevertheless, at your word. Yeah, so immediately it switches, lets that word switch into the spirit. Get away from that soulish realm and let the word of God divide, put the soul in its place. My soul, why art thou distressed and why art thou cast down within me? I'm going to praise the Lord, the psalmist said in Psalm 42. You know, I'm going to praise him for the light of his countenance. And he encouraged himself in the Lord, we're told. Encourage himself in the Lord. And, Peter also encouraged himself. Say, what time I'm afraid? I will praise him in his word. Will I praise him? Well, what time you are afraid? Look to his word. What time you are afraid? gaze upon him. Praise God. Lift up your eyes and look around you and see the glory of God. Say, look to the heavens. Praise God. The heavens declare his, you know, handiwork. The firmament tell of his glory. Look to the heavens. And God wants us to lift up our eyes and look. And when you look, well, you look. When the voice says something to you, turn and see the voice that's speaking. You know, it's not enough to hear his voice. You want to gaze upon him and see him too. That's what John did on the Isle of Patmos. He heard the voice. And I said, I got to turn and see who's speaking to me. Praise God. And when he turned, my goodness, what he saw blew his mind completely. Well, lift up your eyes today and gaze upon the King. Go back out there, Jesus said to Peter, and do it again. Praise the Lord. And Peter said, well, I know the voice of the Master. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to do it. And the moment the Master said that word, and the moment Peter switched to that nevertheless moment, that's all. It's over. You know, that moment, all the fish heard the voice of the Master. And they started to move into that place where Peter was going to cast his net at. That's it. Because now the Master has spoken. See, but we must believe. And we must see him in the situation. You know, and the moment that God steps into that situation, he was there the whole time though, but sometimes he has to reveal it to us that he's there. And you know, the moment you realize that, you know that, you know, all hope is not lost. It's not over yet. As long as God is in that situation, it's not over yet. The devil would like to make you think it's over. Give it up. Give it in. Pack it up. You know, curse God to his face. Job's wife said, look, you know, why stand you in jeopardy of your life all day long? Just curse God and die already. That was the voice of the devil directly through his wife. And the devil will try to make you discouraged all the time. But lift up your head today and see, am I not God even over this mountain, saith the Lord? Ha, hallelujah. Am I God only during good times? Am I not God even when you are going through difficult times? Have I not said, I will be with you in the fire and through the floods? And they shall not overwhelm you, neither will the fire kindle upon you. Have I not said that? Hallelujah. So let's look upon the Lord today. You know, that's a short exhortation I want to give today. And I want to just pray for us that we will be able to lift up our eyes and see the King of Glory in our situation. In whatever situation you are in, just see him. Gaze upon him. Praise the Lord. Now the devil doesn't want you to see that. But if you can just see it, hallelujah. You can recognize that he's right there. And he'll lift up, he'll stretch out his hand and say, take my hand. Hallelujah. Take my hand. Praise God. Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone that is here laden with burdens and various challenges. Christ said, look upon me, look unto me, and be ye saved, the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I say to everyone on here today to lift up your head. Hallelujah. And gaze upon the Lord and see him in your situation. He's there. He's there with you in your situation. What is he that he wants you to learn? I pray that you give us the vision to see the chariots of fire. Woo-hoo. Lord, the people the armies of the enemy surrounded the city, but the armies of God were on the mountains. Praise God. Lord, help us to lift up our heads and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your head today and see the King of Glory in that situation. Gaze upon him and worship him and thank him. And the moment that the Lord gave that encouragement to Jehoshaphat, the next thing he did was to worship. Praise the Lord. So I want us to worship the Lord today. The Lord has spoken to you that I am the God even over this mountain. This mountain, who art thou, O great mountain? The Lord said, I'm going to make you a plain. I'm going to bring forth the headstone even thereof, shouting grace, grace unto my people. Praise God. Now, if you have heard the word of encouragement this morning, then let's worship like Jehoshaphat did. He worshiped. He bowed down and he worshiped and said, the Lord has said that the Lord will fight for us. We shall not even need to lift a finger in this battle. Now, therefore, let us worship the Lord. And he began to worship. I invite you to gaze upon the Lord today and to worship him. For he has promised. Has the Lord spoken and shall he not make good? Hallelujah. Is there any situation that is too strong for the Lord? Is there anything that the Lord cannot do? I am the God of all flesh, saith the Lord. Is there anything that's too hard for me? Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Lift up your heads, O ye people, and gaze upon him and see the King of Glory in your situation. The Lord grant everybody grace. The hands that hang down, let them be strengthened and lifted up. Let the knees that are feeble. See, the devil has pummeled sometimes that we can't even get on our knees and play. But the Lord will give strength to his people. Hallelujah. Now let the heads that are bowed down, let them be lifted up today and see the King of Glory in this situation. Our God will come with a vengeance and he will save us. He will save you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord strengthen and encourage everybody in this morning, on this day, to, as you hear the voice of the Spirit, harden not your heart, but worship and praise the Lord in the name of Jesus. And while you're waiting, remember, wait in the corridor of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.